Now shall we turn this evening to the Gospel by Matthew and in chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel and in chapter 14. And we'll read from verse number 23. Matthew chapter 14 and reading from verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now that will suffice for our reading, though we may help to refer to other passages that will deal with the subject matter that is before us tonight. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts. We did say last night that we were going to try in the four nights that we were here to look at some very simple and practical lessons from the life of Peter and from his writings that are brought to us in the pages of the Word of God. And last night we did try in a very cursory way just to look at something of what he had to say in relation to the period of our witness as believers, and really spent most of the time enjoying, I trust, the link between the book of Esther on the first epistle of Peter. I had hoped that we might have got into the letter to see that in each chapter he brings before them a truth that was precious in relation to the witness in those particular days, which is still applicable to the saints of the present day. But we needn't really go back over that tonight, else we would lose perhaps tonight's subject in so doing. And so we try tonight to think then, not so much of the period of our witness, but how Peter's life influences and leaves us a pattern for our walk. And then tomorrow to look at what he is involved in and how he goes about the preaching of the word. And then perhaps on Thursday to see the pastor and his work and how this is reflected in the life and ministry and the writings of this apostle that is so dear to all our hearts. When I think of the pathway that is, or the pathway for our walk that is before us, the pattern for our walk that is before us tonight, I do understand that there are footsteps to be followed. I want us to keep that in mind in tonight's meeting. When I think of Peter as the pattern for our walk, I'm concerned about footsteps to be followed. When I think of the matter of the preaching of the word, I see that in his case, there are fish to be found. I hope we'll have helped to see that on another evening and be able to grasp something of the wonder of the work that God has given him to do on reaching out and leaving behind a net and a boat on which he had gathered to the shore on many times fish of an earthly character. He's going out now to preach the word and to be a fisher of men. And then, of course, when I think of the pastor and his work, I'm thinking, you'll probably be there before me. It's a flock to be fed. A flock to be fed. Our brother was reminding us of the significance of those words of the Lord Jesus in bringing to Peter's attention, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. And we'll see that that ministry of the Lord and that word to his heart is reflected in his action and is seen in character in the letters that he's going to write in the days that are still future at that time. So tonight then, we want to look at the pattern for our walk, the footsteps that we are meant to follow in the measure in which they will lead us to a closer walk with the Savior and a greater and more perfect understanding of his ways, that our lives might be for his glory till the journey is over. I want us to see that as this pathway of following Christ took Peter into a number of situations that were at times difficult and certainly different. We trace his pathway as he moves in the company of the Lord Jesus. And we would like tonight just to spread out before all of us that have come something of the pathway that we too might walk in his steps. I know that Peter and Paul and others would like us not only to be followers of them, but in the measure in which they were followers of Christ. It's always good to be a follower of good or of good men, but we want to be guided in all our movements as the Lord's people to a closer walk with the blessed Saviour. And we are introduced in Peter's life into a number of situations where his footprints were left on earth, in the world, in various places that were for him, I judge, unforgettable experiences. All of us like to retrace pathways that we have enjoyed. We did a bit of that last week in Woodland, just covering the old country of Christian life and the various landmarks that we love to go round. And I'm sure if Peter were asked, which parts of your life stand out in your memory? You know, we sometimes at home, when we have an odd night free, maybe take down some of those photograph albums that are there in a pile, in a cupboard or in a corner, and maybe they go unlooked at for, maybe a year at a time, maybe sometimes longer. And we take them down and look through them again. So remember the time we were in that place? Do you remember that day? Remember that summer? Do you remember when the children were that age? Do you remember the experiences we had? And what we're really doing is not only turning back the pages of a book, but retracing in our memory the experiences and the places that we visited from time to time. I would judge that Peter never forgot the footsteps that took him to the Savior. Footsteps to the Savior. If you ask him now, what was the biggest day? And there were many in his life, and we'll see, I hope, a few of them. What was the biggest experience and the pathway that you trod and the footprints that you left? What was the most unforgettable of them all? Lord, sir, remember one day Andrew came home and said, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. Oh, he would tell you how that word burned into his heart. And he said, I can recall the steps that we took when someone brought him to Jesus. And those steps of time were unforgettable. We all remember those, I trust, or do we? Some just look back a few days or weeks or months, maybe a year or two, and remember those first faltering steps when we came to contact with Christ, sometimes hardly more than aware of the awful danger in which we were found. When we'd heard a message of life, and from others that had found Christ, we were brought into contact with the blessed Saviour of sinners. Those steps were taken some way down the road of life, perhaps. It's just over 40 years ago, on the 25th of September, 1955, when a little boy in the Crumlin Road in Belfast City took a few steps to the Saviour. I hadn't travelled the roads of life too long. I hadn't been down the roads of sin to any great degree. But I remember with stark clarity the night when I took the steps to Christ. I couldn't tell you one thing that happened on the 24th of September. I have no memory of that day, whatever, where I was or what I did or who I saw. I have no idea where I was or what I did on the 26th. On the 25th, it's as clear as if it was last night. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. Found in him a resting place, and thank God he has made me glad. And 40 years have come, and still the memory of the steps to Christ remain ingrained in the mind and in the heart. Let me just ask tonight, as we start our meeting again, have you been to Jesus? Have you found the Saviour? If you have, the most important prints that you'll ever make on the sands of time have been made. It doesn't matter where you go, or the heights to which you reach, or the career status that you obtain. It doesn't matter the countries you visit. If Christ has not been found, and if the experience of salvation has not been enjoyed, you've missed the most important thing. You've missed all that's worth having, and you've missed the pathway to blessing that will take at last home to heaven. No, we walk, all that are saved, in the steps of the faith of Abraham our father, of whom it was said, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Friend, tonight, I pause only a moment here to ask, have you taken the steps to Christ? We sometimes sing a little hymn, and it goes like this, only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come with thy sin confessing, before him lowly bow. Only a step, only a step, why not take it now? There might be some people in the meeting tonight, just a step away from blessing, just a few steps on the road to take until we discover the great blessing. We were talking to our dear brother, Mr. Reed, again tonight, who reminded us of that solemn experience that was his in a week or two that's passed, when a man came at last awakened to the surgery door of the doctor, at last convinced of his need. His first visit, when the doctor came to answer the call, he died at the surgery door. Only a step from a remedy that could have been his, perhaps. Only a step away from blessing and away from a possible cure. I cannot tell. He died on the very door of the place where help could be found. There are some in the meeting tonight. Just a step from heaven. If you die as you are without the step of faith taken, it will be hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. We don't want to linger there, but his first steps of faith to the Saviour were unforgettable in his experience. And I think that we see that not only did he appreciate the Lamb, he followed, as did John and the other, as they followed the Lamb of God and discovered him. But there was an acknowledgement of the Lord. There was an acknowledgement of the Lord in that. And then we find that there was the authority of a leader recognized. He took footsteps in service. Footsteps in service. What was the next pathway that you took, Peter? After those hours spent in the company of the Lord Jesus, after listening to his voice and learning of his wondrous grace in coming, he said, I remember a day when he passed me when I was yonder mending the nets, and he said, follow me. Follow me. And he said they forsook their nets and followed him. I remember that path, he would tell you. I remember the day. I remember the day when for the first time I really acknowledged him as the leader. That I was going to go where he was going. That I was going to follow in his pathway. They forsake their nets, forsook their nets, and they followed him. And he said, not only did I acknowledge Christ as leader, but I accepted the loss that was involved. Turned my back on it all. Left it all behind. Took a pathway of service to the master. That word comes as a challenge to all our hearts tonight. It would ill become me to look for missionaries, maybe who myself am still in secular employment. It would ill become me to put out a challenge perhaps where others could better do it. But I'm thinking not only of a man leaving to serve full time, but I'm thinking of a man or woman prepared to turn their back on that which normally and naturally would claim the attention and the talent and the energy and put into the service of God. That would be vital. To say, I'm following him. I'm not following my own ambitions anymore. I'm not following the call of the world or the call of the sea or the call of the wild or the call of the business. These things are all in their proper place to have to be attended to until the Lord would indicate otherwise. The pathway and footprints of service are essential in the lives of all God's people. To see the value of moving in the pathway of his direction. That took me to the baptism time. The measure in which I was going to follow his word. That brought me one day when still in my teens to sit down in assembly fellowship in the place where I still sit to remember the Lord, yonder in the north of Ireland. That call took me to gather unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard the text so often quoted last night. Unto the name of the Lord Jesus. And that was a following.
And all down the course of our life, may we have helped to move in a pathway of service to Him.
Counting all else for loss. There's no doubt, I often think of the words, I used to have it in my study hanging, the words of Jim Elliot that are often quoted. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. And that's the challenge for spiritual life. That's the challenge for all our lives tonight as the people of God. There's a voice that says, follow me. Follow me. No further indication at that point that they were to become fishers of men in Mark chapter 1. There was a day when the Savior's claim laid hold upon him. He's going to obey simply. Say, where thou goest, I will go. He could have sang the hymn if he had known it. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. O words with heavenly comfort fraught, where'er I go, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. And there are people in the meeting tonight, and they can look back over their life. It hasn't taken them many thousands of miles to serve the Lord in another country or another language. Some it has just done that. It meant great sacrifice, but many of you in the meeting tonight can trace the hand of the Lord in guidance, even in the matters of everyday life and experience, in movement, in houses, in job, in business, in all that we seek to keep in mind the following of the Lord Jesus, there are footsteps and footprints in service that this blessed man took that are still a challenge to us all. He'd never forget that day. He'd never forget it. The nets were cast aside. The ship was left. And one thing became predominant in his life. That was the claims of Christ upon his life. Sometimes I think that's what we need to hear afresh in all our hearts. We might never move outside Vancouver, as far as you dear people are concerned, or British Columbia. You might never leave the lovely land of Canada for another part, and I may stay forever after in our own little island home in the north of Ireland yonder, but still in every sphere, the word comes, follow me. Follow me. Let us be exercised about a pathway of service and footsteps that are left in those particular grounds. When I come to the passage I read tonight, I think of all the memories, this must be one of the most precious too. Footsteps or footprints on the sea. He stands unique amongst the sons of men in that this man, for a time, walked upon the sea. You know, there are three miracles in this chapter before us. There's the miracle of divine power evidenced. Jesus came unto them walking on the sea. There's the miracle of divine preservation enjoyed. Really is, it says, experienced by it. Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. Nothing divine about that man, but divine power experienced. No doubt about it, whatever. Divine preservation along the road. And then you find that the divine presence was enjoyed. That's the third miracle in the passage. This is when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. Three miracles, all taking place on this one memorable day. How could he forget it? He said, amidst the toil, amidst the storm, I'll never forget the sight of a man walking on the sea. At first they were affrighted. They feared it was a spirit. So unnatural was it to see amidst the turbulent waves a man walking over the surface of the sea, never been seen before. Shall I not forget that day? Divine power evidence. There it was. He said, you know, there's a day in my life I'll never forget. And that was when I recognized it was the Lord. And I said, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So I actually got down over the ship. I'm sure he told about it, you know. I could see him telling family and friends. How could you forget an experience like that? As if it was solid. A man walking. Think about it. What is it really? Is a man able to put his head above the water? And that's only by divine preservation.
Here's a man. I can understand the Lord walking on the sea. But to me there's something tremendous about seeing a man, Peter, walking on the sea,
trying to keep his head above the tide. Do we know anything about that?
in the spiritual sense now. We're in situations that are turbulent. We're in a situation in family life, maybe at this present time, I cannot tell, the needs of the company. The winds are blowing in your face. That's exactly what happened to this man. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." There might be somebody in Victoria Drive Hall this evening, and the wind is blowing in your face, and you're just about off balance. And you just feel the pressure, and you just feel the ground beneath you about to give way, as it were. And maybe you've been managing to cope and keep your head above the water for a good wee while. Let me tell you, friend, the secret is this.
Keep your eye upon Jesus. Keep your eye upon Jesus.
Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear brother in the meeting tonight, amidst the troubles that are besetting you. Dear sister tonight, in distress and anguish. Whatever the young man with a problem. Dear sister tonight, in the difficulties of 1995, when the winds of opposition blow in the... There are many winds that blow. Keep your eye on the Savior. Once you start to look down, once you look in the mirror and see yourself reflected, my, we'll go down. If you look back at the boat and see the men there, they'll only produce fear, every one of them watching with fear stamped upon their faces. Turn your eyes at Christ.
God is still on the throne, the little hymn says, and he will remember his own. I want to tell you, there's such a thing as knowing the miracle of divine preservation. Nothing else will keep our head above the tide. Nothing else.
We go down. Hopeless. There's the wind of difficulty. Ecclesiastes 11.
He regarded the wind will not sow.
There's the winds of doubt. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. There's the winds of doctrine that blow people off their course,
carried to and fro by every winds of doctrine. Even the winds of deceit in Acts 27, I was thinking. South wind blew soft winds, supposing they had obtained their purpose. There was that.
In every one of them, there's the real possibility of missing the road and losing fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
I see the first miracle brought comfort to them.
Oh, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Oh, the wonder of recognizing him.
Someone was asking me the other day there, and it's a question I've often thought about and often been asked about, will we recognize one another in heaven? Well, I think we're all going to be a good deal changed for the better, mind you, by the time we get there, but
yes, I do think we will recognize one another in heaven. I do believe that. I'm happy to think that. But I'll tell you what sometimes perturbs me a little bit more. Not so much will I recognize one another in heaven. Do I recognize the Lord on earth?
Do I recognize the Lord on earth?
You look through the Bible and see how many occasions, I don't go into it this evening, but you look at those occasions when men came to realize it is the Lord and they hadn't recognized him.
Oh, how often we suffer, how quickly we will die.
It brought comfort to them as they saw the blessed Savior on the water coming to meet them. It brought confidence to Peter as he steps out on what was impossible ground. Oh, Peter, don't make a fool of yourself. I wonder what the man thought as he went over the ship, you know. Oh, Peter, poor Peter, you know. Don't be so foolish. That's the Lord. He can walk on it. You could never manage.
Some time to look at each other. Is it trusting God? God will.
Counting on God's aid and power, going against the public opinion. Absolutely convinced that the Lord says it, I can do it. Even though people turn against us and recommend otherwise, there's a confidence about simply stepping out in faith. It is the Lord, he said. It is the Lord. Bid me come unto thee in the water.
And then they got the divine calm. The calm of the divine presence.
These are the lessons that Peter learned. As his footprints were left upon the sea. What a miracle.
Brethren and sisters, may the Lord help us to keep our head above the tide. Many are going down under. No doubt about it. I'll quote that old hymn again. Some of you know it. Travelling on the sea of life, we're homeward bound. Drifting wrecks and struggling souls are all around. The first time I heard that, I'll tell you, I was just a young fellow.
And people were telling me all about the difficulties ahead, and I didn't really more than believe them. But I'll tell you, life is difficult. The pathway is fraught with danger. And all that was said was true. And it's only in a measure we keep our eye upon Christ. Only in a measure confidence is expressed and fellowship is enjoyed with Him, we'll be able to keep our head above the water and move in fellowship with the blessed Savior. Footprints to the Savior. Footprints in service. Footprints in the sea. Footprints in the sanctuary. Oh, friend, I want just to get a hold of this for a minute or two. Peter, tell us some of the other places that you trod that you'll never forget. Oh, so you remember the day when we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Eyewitnesses of His majesty when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. I'll never forget the day we climbed that mountainside. I'll never forget the day our feet trod up that pathway to the mountain top, and we saw visions the like of which the most of men never see while still on earth. And there they went up to see, transfigured before them. It's lovely to read the gospel records. I won't go into it now. You read them. Compare how Matthew, Mark, and Luke describe that story. Look at the language that is used. Look at the little unique expressions that each conveys to us. And Peter, forever stamped upon his memory. Oh, the day, the hour when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Footsteps in the sanctuary. How precious. Do you know anything about it? We sing a hymn at times, alone upon the mountain, alone upon the top mountain top, I stand with Thee, my God, bathed in the clearest, fullest light, the glory that surrounds Thy throne. Do we know anything about it? Spending time just viewing the glories of Christ and just soaking up the atmosphere of heaven while we're still on earth. And allowing our souls just to be enraptured by the sight of His glory and the wonder of it all. And here we are in the very presence of the blessed Savior. I hope we get there as we sit down to remember Him and many more times beside. You see, a view of Christ in glory forever settled in Peter's mind how to treat other men. James was with him. I'm thinking of James, you know. He speaks about the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. Look at the context in which that's mentioned. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. The man comes in wearing a gold ring. No special favors. Why is that experience mentioned? Do I believe, brethren? A man that spent time in a holy mount, occupied with the glories of Christ, was never impressed with the riches of the world, never. The men with a ring on every finger, who could wear a crown of gold upon their head, men that knew what it was to spend time in the sanctuary with visions of Christ in glory, were unimpressed by earthly trappings. They knew how to feel it in the light of the glory of Christ that had been known experimentally. Do we know that? Are we impressed by riches? Will we show special favors? If so-and-so's a big bank account, we'll be nice to him. Somebody else has a good business and a good job, we'll be careful how we treat him. If somebody has nothing, we can wipe our feet on them. We can put them away and put them out. Reverend, it's a sight of Christ in the sanctuary, in the glory, that settles our mind forever to the worth of earthly things. Let us be better to find spending time on footsteps in the sanctuary. Ah, but he said there was another sanctuary I was in one day. Same two men, he said, there was a night when we went into Gethsemane's garden. Saw the Savior. Gethsemane, can I forget? Or there thy conflict see? Thy agony and blood-like sweat, and not remember thee. The man that has been to the garden, as well as the tomb, his life is forever changed. He knows how to treat others. When he has been in view of the glory, he knows what to think of self. When he's spent moments in the garden. I tell you, that's a humbling experience. There's a man, he'll never forget the few extra steps he took. Peter and James and John. They watched his suffering and his sorrow. They spent those moments
viewing what angels look down on with amazement in their eyes. Absolutely confounded as angels appeared strengthening him.
Do we know something about spending time in the sanctuary? Remembering the wonder of one who lay on a night when it was cold enough for men to need a fire to warm him, sweating as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. My brother and sisters tonight, are our footprints ever seen in the sanctuary?
Do we take off our shoes and off our feet? The place whereon we stand is holy ground, and move in the confines of viewing the sufferings of Christ, and stand again beneath the cross, and view the wonders of the Lamb of
footprints in the sanctuary. I was going to mention footprints in the sieve, but we haven't time. Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. A good many of us maybe spend time in the sieve. The devil is after us. I can't stay there. I've just got to go finish with a wee reference to footprints in the sepulchre. Oh, what a happy day. Peter, do you remember that day?
Read the gospel records again and come to the place where Peter arrives. John stoops down and looks in, but he doesn't go in.
Oh, there's footprints of Peter right in the very sepulchre.
Right inside. What does he see?
He held the linen garments.
The napkin that was about his head in a place. That's the man that lay in Gethsemane. He once was here. That's the one I followed when I heard about the Lamb and the Messiah. That's the one I saw on the sea. And I moved out in adoring confidence in him,
as the one I saw weep in the door, die on the cross. Now he's gone. He's gone.
To view the empty clothes in which the sacred body lay. Stands there, awed by the greatest sight the world would witness.
Up from the grave he had risen, with a mighty triumph o'er his face. I tell you, it would help our gospel preaching if we stood in the shades of the sun.
Christ is risen. Proclaim the joyful story the Lord's on high.
And we and him are raised to endless glory. And there come die. Footsteps to be followed. May the Lord help us.